Wow. So we've reached the final shira here. And it sounds like it's been quite a trip.
How could you tell?
You can see a room full of radiating human beings, and you know that this was a trip. Maybe even to take a moment, something that we do on Rosh Hashanah is coming into a new year. We as a family take a moment and everybody sits and takes a minute just to meditate on one word that they would want to describe their year. And maybe even just taking a moment now and taking and thinking about if you could take one thing away and you had to put it into one word, which is impossible, but that's the exercise. What do you want to walk away with? Like, what do you want to walk home with? You came here, you invested all this time and all this energy, and you flew and you busted, you taxied and you walked around and you gained a lot. And if you took something with you into the next 6 months, what would that be?
Transformative.
Huh? Amen. Keep it with you. You can tell, I'm happy that you're telling me because I get to take it, but yeah?
Can I say Oirav Simcha B'Sasam Bikar?
Amen. Yeah. That's also a word? We'll take it. I like it. I'm there. You know, the most amazing thing...
I couldn't say just one.
I know. By the way, like that, you know, that's always the theme. The theme is how many words can you fit into a single word that you want to carry with you? And if we had hours now, I would say even take, you know, 10 minutes now and do it. But I know our time is limited. But it's a suggestion, even if it's, you know, on the bus on the way to the flight or it's on the airplane at some point, like now's the most clear you're going to be. Like it's the most clear is this last bit. You're galvanizing all the energy that you took with you. You know, I usually think about that word at the end of the year, what I started the year with. And so this is something to think about. The Arizal connects Purim to Rosh Hashanah. So now this is the inverse. So from where we are to where we're going, what is it that we want to carry with us from this trip? I'm extremely inspired, in general. So, share my lesson. I was thinking a lot about the world we live in today. We live in a crazy world, a cosmic world, an undeniably insanity of chaos and volatility. And things that make no sense, and then miracles that make just as little sense. And it's all happening at the same time. And it is such an acceleration. The pace has never been faster in human history for all things. I tend to be a toxic optimist. And what that means is my wife needs to ground me a lot. But I see so much of what's happening, and there's so much good and so much potential that's going to unfold and unravel in the days, weeks, months, years that are in front of us. Like, we are in, what can you say? This is the Ikvas of the Mashiach. This is what we've been speaking about for like 3,000 years. We've been speaking about now. And one of the things we were speaking about over Shabbos was, imagine you took someone from 200 years ago and you just put them into any room, in any dining room here in Yerushalayim. They would say, so Mashiach came? Yeah? Wow. I mean, look, there's Torah everywhere. It used to be that if you wanted to learn Gemara, you had to be in a city that had a Gemara. And if you weren't, then you didn't learn it. Like, that's how far away we are from where we were to where we are. We're in Yerushalayim. We're having a shir at the Kotel. Right? So obviously, you can see by looking over, we know that we're not all the way there yet. But if you were here, like, you would look around and you would assume... Wow, like we're living in a world of miracles. You're saying you can talk on one side of the world and someone on the other side of the world can hear it? That wouldn't compute for someone, right? If you just dropped them here. So we were dropped into this world, but we don't know the world before. But it's insane. All of history didn't look like this, and here we are. And then 5 years ago, whew, COVID comes and changes the planet again. And now we're a completely digital world, right? And with Zoom calls, and it's fast, and it's everywhere, always, all the time. You can't turn it off. It's like the faucet's running. And with that came a lot of stress and tension and anxiety and scary things. And it's like, what's happening? But it's birth pangs, right? And anybody who's given birth, and in my case, anybody who's seen it, sorry, me. But it was emotional for me, I have to tell you. The first time my oldest daughter was born, I was like, this can't be true. Like, it can't be that people have to go through this. And then you end up with this baby, right? You end up with something that is a miracle. and that doesn't make sense and shouldn't be here. And that's where we are. We're like in this progressive unfolding. And so that's what it's inspiring me a lot these days, just thinking about and seeing, you can see the movement, and the movement is fast, and there's so much beauty, and we're going to get the choice of what we tune into. That's, you know, and it's always been that. Like, you can tune into all the things that make you feel terrible, down, and scared, and you can tune into all the good and miracles and positivity and bracha that's happening, and that's Bacharta B'chayim. We're going to get a choice. Some things we're not going to have a choice over, right? Things that happen to us personally, things that happen to us collectively that are so big it can't be ignored. There are going to be things that we're supposed to tune into the hardship. This is not like a spiritual bypass where you don't look at the hard stuff. It's more like you look at the hard stuff when it's there, and what are you doing the rest of the time? And that's where most people are living, is in the rest of the time, right? And that's where all of this choice of life is. That was sitting in my mind. I wanted to share that with you. I don't know if it's directly connected, but we'll go in. We just had Parshas Truma. First of all, you guys are so lucky to have Rav Itiel, and I'm sure all the amazing Rabbanim and educators that came in here. I actually only really got to know him about a month ago or 6 weeks ago. I don't know if he mentioned or if you've heard, there was this like amazing kennis of educators that came together. Yeah. I'm still like, I cannot believe this happened. Again, it's geuladik that somebody decided to bring together different mashpiyim from all over the world and put them in a basically a cocoon for 4 days. Wow. Right? And we had 4 days in a like remote location outside of Yerushalayim where all we did was share ideas with each other. It was Mashiach. I really thought in the end, we were all dancing together. They had some band. We were all dancing together. And I thought Mashiach like, was going to come at the end of that dance. And I was even disappointed. Like when it finished, I was like... subsequently, I had a thought. Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Who knows? It was big. So he's very special. And just recognizing that we're at a time where that's possible. That's possible. So the Zohar in Parshas Truma, right at the beginning of the Parsha, it quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and it says, Mizos hanishkafa kashachar, who shines like the dawn? Yafa kilavana, beautiful like the moon. Bara kechama, brilliant like the sun. Ayam kenigdalos, is awe-inspiring like a legion. And it explains this pasuk in such a beautiful way. It says, Mizos, who's this that actually achieved deep spiritual connection? How do you live a spiritually aligned life? And it breaks down the spiritual process, our awakening process of growth, into 3 stages. There's the dawn of the morning, there's the moon, and there's the sun. And what does it look like? So what's the dawn? Dawn is, the Zohar says, it's still dark outside. And when it's dark, that's always a metaphor for it's confusing, we're tired, life is stressful, we're frustrated by different things, but I see the light is coming, right? That's what dawn is. Dawn is, I see that there's something that's going to come over the horizon. So I'm not clear yet, but I'm clear that I can get clear. And that already is that's a moment, that's an aha moment of like, I'm not stuck. Like things can and will change and get better. And that's an extremely important part in everyone's growth. And we're always going through different versions of that. Like, you get to the end of one cycle, and then you need a new dawn, right? The second area is the moon. And the moon, its light is constantly waxing and waning. There's more, there's less. And it describes it as the integration process. That's when, okay, I got clear. I went on a trip. I learned about something, I met a new person, I learned about his book or his video series, I learned something new that inspired me, and now I'm letting myself being washed over with all that new information. So I'm going to hear an idea, and then I'm going to share the idea. I'm going to learn something new, and I'm going to try to apply it in my life. So it's not, I don't own it yet, it's not my light, but I am reflecting light, and I'm becoming someone new in that. And those moments are going to have highs, where it's a full moon. And then there's going to be lows where it's at the end of the month and you kind of feel zapped and exhausted. And, you know, that was a really nice year at the time. I was super inspired. But now, like, you know, speaking to my wife last night, and it's like, you know, after like 6-7 hours with the kids and like taking care of the home, and like we're both exhausted, like, you know, we're ready to collapse at the end of the day, right? So like there are you're gonna have times where you're super high and times where you're super low, but you know what you're connected to. But the goal is the sun, right? And the sun shines from its own light. And it's not so much that you've integrated the ideas that were outside of you, but it's that all of those things allowed you and remind you to trust that you have that light inside of you already, right? You don't have to take something from outside and bring it in. It's more like the things that are on the outside that inspire you allow you to tune into the light that's already there. And there is a light already there, and every person has it. But we forget. Welcome to Olam Hazeh. This world makes us forget that light. So whether we're on, you know, the dawn part of our process, we're in the moon or we're in the sun, there's always this continual growth. And as soon as you get there, there's a new dawn. And it's this Ein Sof. That's why the Gemara in Brachos at the end of the Gemara says that what do tzaddikim get in Olam Haba? They go mechayel el chayel. They just keep growing. There's movement. It's Ein Sof. But there's no more resistance. That's the difference. Here, we're fighting. It's like we're fighting this uphill battle. There's a point where it's like all those things go down and you just get to bask in the glory of what hard work looks like. So we're sitting here in Adar, sitting here in a time of great confusion for Klal Yisrael. And at the same time, we're dancing Mishenichnas Adar Marben Besimcha, and then we're crying because we saw something on the news. And then we're getting ready for Purim and a huge party. And then we remember that there are people that are not going to be in a party. So this is the polarity of this world. The world has a strong ebb and flow. And this particular time has a very strong version of that. And all of Purim and all of Adar is, can we take a moment to rise above that and realize everything's okay? That's really what we're doing. All of Adar and all of this time that we're going in is to allow ourselves to suspend our belief in this world for a moment and touch back into something deeper that we know intuitively, but the world can be too heavy to let us go there. And we get a time in the year to say, just go there. Just say it's okay. Take a breath. Things are being guided. There is a cosmic guidance and direction to this world, and it's real. And if I went around the room and I said, can you share with me some Hashgacha Pratzah stories in your life? So everyone here has a bag full of Hashgacha Pratzah stories, every single person. And some of them are yours and some of them you've borrowed from others and you've learned it from someone else. The world is filled with this complete Hashgacha Pratzah that's always happening. There's guidance and direction that's showing up for us in ways that we can't even explain. It's unbelievable. Some stories seem more profound than others, but every single one is Hashgacha. Every person in this room, that's Hashgacha. And if you're here, you're meant to be here hearing this. And if you're not here, you weren't supposed to hear this today. Right? We're talking absolute perfection. And there's a time to lean into that. You see, we get Tisha B'Av also. Hashem gives us Tisha B'Av to say, look, I get it. Things aren't perfect yet down here. Feel the pain. Be there. And then this is the other side. Adar is, okay, that's true. This is also true. We can rise above that. So Adar is, famously, the Zohar says, Aleph Dar, right? Aleph represents God, godliness. Aleph is Gematria 1. It's the oneness, how everything connects, that there's no moment in time, no person you've ever met, nothing you've ever done, nothing you've ever thought or said that isn't connected to the oneness of reality. Nothing, ever. It's never been disconnected. Dar means we can start to see it and feel it. Dar means to live. So the Aleph lives here. The Aleph dwells in this space. The Zohar says that the word Adar is Rosh Tevos for Resha Delo Isyada. It's a Kabbalistic idea, which means the mind that can't be known. It's the part of God's mind that's so high that when you try to understand it, it doesn't make sense to us.
Repeat that.
Huh? Yeah. Resha Yud Shin Aleph. It's all in Aramaic. Resha Dilo, Dalet Lamed Aleph, Ityada. So Aleph Taf Yud Dalet Ayin. Resha Dilo Ityada, which is Rosh Tevos Adar, which is we're touching something that's really big. It's really big. It's hard to know. There's a story with the Chozem Lublin. The Chozem Lublin, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Horowitz, who was a Talmud of the Noam Elimelech, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, when he was like 4 or 5, he used to go out to the forest. And he would go for an hour or two. I don't know if you have a 4 or 5 year old, but if my kid was going out to a forest for 1 or 2 hours at a time, you know, I'd either be really excited or super worried. I'd say, either it's like, this is a tzaddik, or I gotta talk to somebody. Anyway, at some point his mother looked at him and said, you know, what are you doing? Why are you going out to the forest every day? And he said, oh, I'm going to speak to Hashem. Holy kid. So she said, but don't you know Hashem's the same everywhere? And he said, yeah, mommy, but I'm not. Yeah. That idea of there are certain places that allow us to see Hashem differently, and there are certain times that allow us to see Hashem differently, that's what we're speaking about. That Adar, here in Eretz Yisrael, this trip, being by the Kotel, that's where you get to say, yeah, but I'm not. I'm allowed to be different now because I'm going to look for a part of Hashem I don't normally get to connect with. I don't normally get to talk to. I think I might have shared this story before, so some of you here might have heard it, but it's important, I think, to bring out the point. I have, Baruch Hashem, got a bunch of cute little kids at home, but my two older daughters are about a year apart. So if anybody has children who are about a year apart, that already means something. And if you have daughters, that means something. If you have daughters that are a year apart, that means something, right?
And the age of the daughters
also. Huh? And the age of the daughters means something.
And the job is that they each had their own birthday when they were that close.
Yeah. So they're amazing and wonderful and fantastic and certainly give us a run for our money. And there was a time where they were younger and one of them was drawing a picture of butterfly and rainbow and unicorn, I think. She's very yummy, girly girl. And she came over to me and she showed me the picture and she said, Abba, look. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so creative. And her sister saw the attention she was getting and she came over and she took the picture and she was just like, and she ripped it right in half. So I'm sitting there waiting for like the explosion of waterworks and she looks and she's holding her beautiful art and she goes, I have two. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm doing something right. I don't know. This is my wife. I don't know. But that moment was an even this moment. Even this is okay, right? There's an innocence in like a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old saying that, but it hits you. You're like, wow. Like if you can say that. And again, for her, that's like her iPhone, right? Or whatever, like whatever that would be compared to us, like being broken in half. That was her whole world invested in this picture. And then the picture is broken, but she says, ah, there's more here. In that same week, and I think that's why these stories stood out, they were sitting there having a different conversation. And one of them said to the other the three words that no parent ever wants to hear. Right? Universally, we are all connected. Yeah? Which, of course, then makes you go question everything in your life. Like, bad person, bad parent, what are we doing? We have to go somewhere. And so my other daughter looked at her and said, you know, you chose your family before you came here. So once again, I'm like, we're good, we're doing okay, it's fine. They're probably 6 or 7, I don't know. And she looks at her, and she looks back at her sister and says, I did know, but I didn't know that you'd be here. Now, I was on the floor laughing at that point, because that was amazing. And that's like, make cuts of the other side. That's the part of us that says, yeah, Gamzu Latova, accept this, right? So we have two different ways to go through life. We can either have an even this or an accept this attitude towards reality. Is our life even this or accept this? I have two or not you, right? Like that's the choice. And the choice is always going to be presented in front of us. And so, like I said, sometimes there's no choice. Sometimes it's pain. But there's this moment, this time, when we get to touch the part of Hashem, to touch the part of that bigger vision, that greater perspective, perception of reality that says, everything's okay. Like, things aren't chaos. There is order. I might not be able to understand it, articulate it, but can I accept it? You see, acceptance is really the gateway. That's our way through. Because if you can start with acceptance, you might be able to get understanding. If you don't start with acceptance, you can't get understanding. Yeah. Right? So it's an option. Right? We don't always get to understanding, but if you stand in resistance, you'll never get there. But if you can open your mind, so that creates a path. Sometimes you get understanding and sometimes you don't. Either way, you're present. Either way, you're with life as it's happening, as it's unfolding. The B'nai Yisachar points out that Adar in the zodiac is Pisces. In Mazalos, Pisces is Dagim, it's the fish, right? What does that have to do with Adar? So the two major ideas, one is we know in Chazal, when we look at fish, fish are, they're hidden from view. You can't see the fish. And that's the metaphor for bracha. Ein bracha shora ela bedavar asamim min ha'ayin. That bracha, that blessing comes from a world that we can't see. And Adar is tapping into the world that we can't see. The whole story of the Megillah. It's like one of my favorite Torahs on the Megillah is the fact that, right, Hashem's name's not in the Megillah. Right? There's this reference, there's that reference, there's this. But at the end of the day, God's name isn't there. And why is God's name not there? Because God was hidden. We couldn't see him, right? That's the Pashup shot. And the Kedushas Levi, Reb Levi Yitzchak Mevorditchev, says, no, that's not why God's name's not there. God's name is there. It's called the Megillah. The whole Megillah is God's name because life is God in action. It's just a different name. What's the name of the Megillah? Life. The whole story is another one of the names of God. Because there's no moment that we're missing. And so the B'nai Yisachar says that's this Piscean energy is we're tapping into the thing that we can't normally see. But you know what else is true about water? If you fill up anything at the top, if you look from a bird's eye view, it's all even. There's a sameness. Even though things look chaotic underneath, and there's fish swimming, and there's a tree over here, and there's something over there, but seen from the top, it levels everything out. Rabbi Nachman says that that's what it means when we talk about Kimala Haaretz Deyas Hashem, that when Mashiach comes, the world will be filled with God consciousness. Kimayim Liyam Mechasim. Like the sea covers the ocean, right? Like the water covers the sea. Why is God consciousness, it's going to look like that? Because you'll be able to see from the top. Everyone's going to have it. There's an evenness to it. Now, how deep it's going to be, that's going to be dependent on you, right? Because underneath the water, you do more. You might have a deeper version of it, but everyone's going to have it. Yeah, it's going to be everywhere. And that's what Adar is. It's a moment to tap into. It's why it's the end of the year, right? Nisan starts a new year. It's the Rosh Chodesh L'Chadashim. So we're starting something new in Nisan, right? The Hischadshus, Parshas Chodesh. All the new stuff happens in Nisan. But this is the end. This is the climax. According to the Arizal, on some level, this is how we touch Geula. And touching Geula doesn't look like Yetzias Mitzrayim. It looks like Purim. It looks like trying to figure out how on earth we got into this mess in the south of Israel. It looks like how on earth did we get into these messes with our spouses. It looks at how on earth did I get into this mess with my child. I don't know how we got here. But the whole story is Hashem. And at no point was God not there. At no point is that not part of it. But it's not like open miracles first. Now we get the privilege of living at a time where at the very end you get both. Where we still have all the stuff where I don't understand. It's the Purim. But the Medrash says that we're also gonna see miracles like Kriyas Yamsuf. And we've already started to see it. Anybody who has even eyes a little bit open, it's like I think there were 5 buses last week that no one was on. 15 in the end, right? Like you can't, like we're trying to make that up and put that in a film. They won't put it because it doesn't make sense, right? Like these things don't make sense. 400 rockets come from Iran, right? Everyone's okay. Like we can't understand it. It doesn't mean it's not scary, but we're living in open miracles, the Nisim Galuyim. This is where we find ourselves, that there's a real powerful presence. Like there's a presence, a feeling. It's more than an idea. And it's so much about getting outside of our heads. That's why there's the mitzvah to drink on Purim, is because we have to get out of our heads. No, the person doesn't have to drink. Yeah. But the mitzvah was there because if we try to think about things, we're not going to be able to make sense out of it. It's too much to try to make sense out of the whole picture. You have to go beyond your mind. You have to go to the place where you can feel something deeper, where you can resonate with a deeper consciousness. So there's three major characters in the Megillah. The Rama, Rav Moshe Isserles of the Shulchan Aruch, so he says that the whole Megillah is really a play of our psychology, and they represent different parts of our mind. It was like IFS before IFS got popular. It was like the Megillah story. It's like a whole, all the different parts. And obviously, main characters, right? Haman, Mordechai, and Esther, but he goes into everybody. I think we're okay, but I forgot my watch, so you'll tell me as we're doing, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm following you. Okay. So, Haman, probably the one of the great villains of human history. So the Gemara asks about each of these characters, what's their symbolism, what's their reference to in the Chumash? And Haman is Hamin Ha'etz Hazeh, right? Speaking about the Eitz Hadas. And what happened with the Eitz Hadas, and why is it so bad? And it's not that it's so bad, it's that it's actually the reason for all of human history. Like, meaning, what happened at the Eitz Hadas led to everything that we go through until Mashiach comes. So all of human history comes from there. So what is that? So that's probably a series in its own right, not just a talk or a class. But Rav Mutl Zilber, I don't know if you know who Rav Mutl Zilber is, a big, big tzaddik in Borough Park. He's brilliant. Rav Moshe Weinberger said about him that that's his Rebbe. Rav Moshe Weinberger says he's his Rebbe. And he said that he's one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, like, as far as he's concerned. And that his Torah is, he hasn't learned Torah like that since like Rav Tzadok HaKohen, a couple hundred years. So he's a very, very big person. And when he goes to explain the Arizal on what happened at the Eitz Hadas, he says the following. He says, before the world of the Eitz Hadas, there was just a pure acceptance that whatever happened was good because it was from Hashem. Very simple, pure. And the shift was going from a world of unity to a world of polarity, a world of separateness, where there were two sides. There's a better and a worse. There's good and there's bad. There's winners and there's losers. And that's all personal. And that's all subjective. And that was the main shift. In other words, it created a sense of separate self or an ego. And in that world of ego, we battle with life for the rest of history. So what does that look like? What's the Haman, right? We know Haman, Amalek is Safek, but what's the doubt, right? What is the doubt? What are we doubting? So on some level, we doubt ourselves, right? We doubt our ability to do, our ability to be. We question whether or not we're good. The fact that that's even a question is a Maisa Satan. Not a Maisa Satan, it's the Maisa Satan. That's what happened. You could question that you're good is a miracle. It's the opposite, but it's a miracle. Because a neshama is a chelik of God. So there's never a question if you're good, if you're not good. But the question itself, to question that reality, that's the Eitz Hadas. And the same is true about life. To question whether or not life is good. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen or challenging things don't happen, but the backdrop, right? That there's a goodness here. I was speaking with a group the other day and they were like, yeah, but there's a lot of bad. That's really hard. And when you look at the world, that's why we have to come back. It's all about others, like a bird's eye view on reality. Because if we go down into the muck, then I try to make sense out of things. We have to step back and realize we've been doing this for a long time, right? Like Gilgulim is like part of Torah theology. Yeah, so the Arizal says, we come and we learn and we develop and grow, and then we come and there's things that we're doing. So if you were to look, like stepping back, looking at life, I would say we're doing okay, actually. I would say that life has gone really well over the last 5,000 years. If you try to go in and isolate single events, single positions that took place, that's where we're going to find all of the bad and all of the negativity. But from a bird's eye view, we've been in a process of growth and development. Things are okay. But Haman wants to say, but what about that? Except I didn't know you'd be here. What about this? Accept this. sure, but this. I want to focus on this. I want to focus on the thing that's not good. I want to focus on the thing that makes me feel like I'm a victim. That, because on some level, now I feel like I have a sense of self. But that's Haman. That's the Eitz Hadas. That creates division and fracture in our minds. It doesn't lead to wholeness, doesn't lead to healing. Leads just into pain, holding on to that. Without the Eitz Hadas, without ego and polarity, so there's no room for complaining. You only complain if something's bad and you think it should be different, right? But if you're not living in a world where it could be any different, how could it be any different, Hashem, running the world? So then there's in the world where there's complaints, and then there's a world where there's no complaints because things are as they are. I like some things, I don't like some things, but I'm not standing against it. And so the ego's got all these attachments and these resentments. The way that Rabbi Nachman says it, he says that all the suffering in the world and all the pain in the world and all the illusion in the world comes from, his language is negdiut, negdius, opposition, resistance, opposing forces. That's where all suffering comes from. He says that's what a malik is, that's what ra is. That there's something that's going against how you think things should be. I think things should be one way, and the world says no. The problem is the world's always right. And when the world's right and you still think you're right, you're in pain. So you suffer because you want things to be different than how they are, but they are. So there's another way to approach it. Yeah. So that's the Haman way of living, which is a world of suffering, a world of self-doubt, a world of doubting God, a world of you could fail. See, in God's world, you can't fail. Right? This idea that there's success and failure, from Hashem's perspective, there's no such thing as failures. You're exactly where you're supposed to be, every moment. But we live in a world where I could be a failure. That's Haman. You can't be a failure, and neither can your child, and neither can your parents. That doesn't exist. That's a very human perspective. But we're in a neshama. One of the things that B'nai Yisachar says is that he brings the Sefer Yetzirah that says that every month has a different letter that's connected to the month. So the letter for Adar is a kuf. Yeah? Why is it a kuf? Because he says that the dark side wants to use all of the stuff in this world that looks wrong and say, you see, there's no godliness there. And it tries to copy spirituality. And like, we are to a monkey like the soul is to us. Yeah? Like that's the chasm. And kuf is the same word for kuf, which means a monkey. And you have to realize that it's all monkey business. To think that things are going wrong is to try to look at the world through the eyes of a monkey compared to a human, but we are that to the neshama, and we want to resonate with the neshama and to rise above that. So how do we do that? So if that's Haman over here, so the foil, the opposing force to that is Mordechai. And I love Mordechai. I'll tell you a funny story, actually. It's funny, like, as of this year. My brother, I hope he's okay. I hope you're okay with me saying this. my brother and his wife were watching home videos, I don't know, a year ago, something like that. And they were watching videos, and one of the videos came up, happened to be, like, it was my brother's bris, so they were watching the videos. I came up in there, and they were watching it, and it was funny, and it was cute, and they were laughing about it. And my brother's name is Meir. And they said, V'karo shmo b'Yisrael Mordechai. Now, my brother's been Meir for 30 years or something, 30-some-odd years. And his wife says, did he say Mordechai? And they were like, no, and they rewinded it. And it's like, again, Mordechai. Have I been walking around with the wrong name for 35 years? So he called up my parents, and they were like, did you name me Mordechai? And they were like, no, your name's Meir. He was like, I have a different video, right? And so, anyway, back and forth, went to a bunch of different mekubalim. He's now Meir Mordechai. Yeah?
Wow.
So
wow.
They caught it in a video, right? That's like, insane. Unbelievable. Like, crazy story, yeah?
Oh my
goodness. So an even deeper connection to him. But how you can't make this stuff up. It's unbelievable.
What happens to Mitzvah?
Huh? Because, I mean, on the one foot for halacha, because he goes by Meir and has always went by Meir, so that's his Shem Levi, it's called, his nickname, the name that he goes by. So he doesn't have to change anything. But he gets called up differently now to the Torah. Wow. And his kids, you know, he's Ben Meir Mordechai now instead of Ben Meir. It's like, oh, crazy. Well, my parents were involved in what they were doing, so I guess they were just happy that they had a kid. My mother was happy that they had a kid, and I guess, you know. Meir Mordechai. Well, nobody else knew that it was gonna. He was gonna end up being mayor, huh? That's right. So obviously, my father went and said something. Who knows what he said? Who knows? Who knows what he said? I don't know. He thinks one thing, but Moel clearly thought something else, and he said Mordechai. I love spending time with the Chizuk Mission. You guys are just always an incredible, incredible, incredible group. Amazing energy, and you should know it. Period. I speak to lots and lots and lots of people, and this is always a pleasure. Mordechai, there's two ideas behind the name Mordechai. One is Mar Dachi, right? Mar Dachi, it means, Mar can either mean master, like Mar, a master, or like Mar means bitter. And then Dachi in Aramaic means pure, like Tahor. So the first major idea in Mordechai is he's a master of purity, which allows him to be pure of all the bitterness in the world, right? Mar is also Gematria Amalek and Gematria Suffolk, right? Bitterness is the darkness. Darkness is the Suffolk. Suffolk is the bitter. All of that is the same, yeah? And how do you become pure of that? How do you become a master of purity, that you are pure of bitterness? Is that you're pure inside. What does it mean to be pure? It means you've let go of the ego that says it should be different. So it's a world of surrender. It's a world of allowing. It's in that place where you can let go of your need for things to be different. See, Mordechai walks around and he sees something, and it's not reactive. It's always proactive, the whole story. He's never reacting to something. He's saying, this is happening. Now I have to daven. This is happening. Now I'm going to fast. This is happening. I'm not going to bow to him. It's all proactive. It's not, I can't believe it, right? And then how we all act when things happen, right? Is we're naturally reactive. Mordechai, the Sfarim say he has the midah of hishtavus. It's all the same to me. I'm living with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm pure on the inside because I'm surrendered to, okay, whatever Hashem puts in front of me, I'll deal with that. Okay, something I don't like comes in front of me, I'll deal with that. I'll deal with whatever shows up. I'm not going to have my own opinion and try to put that on top of life. It's a world of trusting. It's trust and it's living present. You see, all of the pain of Haman and Amalek, all the bitterness, is when we're attached to something that was or something that will be. An idea of how I think things should have gone or how things should go. But Mordechai lives present. The whole thing is, can I be here? And that purity of mind leads him to be pure from bitterness. And the second idea of Mordechai, the Gemara says that the remez, the hint or the symbol to Mordechai from the Torah is mor dror. Once again, mor means either master or bitterness. Dror means freedom. Like dror yikra, freedom was called out. Let freedom ring. Yeah. He was a master of freedom. He was a free person. Most of us are slaves to our mind. Maybe not all the time. We have some level of freedom. We think that freedom means the ability to do whatever we want. The truth is freedom means to be who we truly are. Yeah? So freedom's not about what you can do. It's about what you can be or who you can be. And that deeper sense of being is everything. And that's Mordechai. Mordechai was free to truly be himself. And that's what drove Haman, the ego, crazy. Because the ego wants you to bow down to me. Listen to me. I told you should be upset about this. Right? And the neshama, the higher mind, the higher consciousness says, I don't bow to the ego. I don't bow to this negative thinking. I don't put myself down just because there's that thought from the outside. I'm free. I'm a master of freedom. They say that freedom isn't getting what you want. It's wanting what you get. Freedom isn't getting what you want. It's wanting what you get. Yeah? That's Mordechai. Mordechai is, whatever shows up, I can lean into that because I know where it's coming from. And I know where it's coming from. That's this place of ad delo yada. Ad delo yada. The resha delos yada. If I try to understand it first, I can't have it. If I let go and say, okay, I accept. I'm there. I'm surrender. Sometimes you get understanding. Sometimes you don't, but you're at least there with it, and you're free. You're free to experience things as they happen. And of course, Esther represents us. If Mordechai represents the higher mind, your higher consciousness, Esther is the one that can hear it. She's constantly being whispered into her ear by Mordechai. That's us. Can we hear the whispers of our neshama? Right? Our neshama is speaking to us. That's like the Mordechai in us, but we're all Esther. Can we hear it and then keep our ego quiet? You see, she has to keep her mouth closed until her neshama says, now, right? It's a relationship. The relationship between Esther and Mordechai is the relationship between us and our neshama, the self and our higher self, and not giving in to our ego that wants us to doubt ourselves and doubt reality, to fall into darkness. That's the whole story of Purim. It's really the whole story of life. It's everything. Our whole story is, can we learn to get quiet, right? Over and over again, right? In the Megillah, Esther's lo magid es molarata, Esther lo tagid, Esther lo tagid. She's holding herself back. And by holding back, she's able to listen, right? By not saying her thought, she can hear something deeper. And then when the right time comes, she can change the world, right? That's what we're doing. Can we get quiet enough to hear our deeper self, to hear our higher self, and then take action and express that when the time is right, right? It's a balance. Yeah.
Just quickly, I don't want to derail, but I want to say that I heard a share that parallels this with Adam, Chava, and Nachash.
Yes.
Where Adam is also the mind, the consciousness, Chava is the heart, and then the Nachash was the ego, and,
Right. No, you're not just somewhat right. The Maharal says that, connecting these characters to those characters, meaning you did it, right? That's what the Maharal says. Right? The Maharal says that Haman, Amalek, and Nachash, and it parallels Mordechai and Esther, and he parallels it to Adam and Chava and to Avram and Sarah, meaning like that's what I mean by we're here. We've been here a lot. Yeah, we're moving through, and it's like we have to be proud of ourselves. Like, we've done a lot. We came in here with a lot of baggage. You know, I used to think when I saw people, I'd be like, man, they're parents. You know, if I saw someone, I was very judgmental. And then you have kids. Oh, these kids come in with a whole package. Like, they come in completely different. It's not just nurture. In fact, it's mostly nature. All your kids come in here completely different one from the other. So sure, they pick up their way of speech from the parents, and they pick up certain actions from their parents. But their personalities? We come with something. We came here with work from before that we're still going through, and we have other things to do this time. That's what we're doing in this world. So the big vision, maybe we'll close with the big vision, then I'm happy to stick around for questions.
Can you just share the pasuk in the Gemara with friends Esther?
Esther is Anochi Aster Aster Panai. That the idea over there is she goes to this double place of hiddenness. The Maharal says that she didn't have not a mother or a father, she was an orphan. So in Kabbalah, the Abba and Ima represent, getting a little Kabbalistic, but represent Chachma and Bina. So when those are missing, so the only thing above you have is Kesser, which is a direct line to God. And that's Esther. She's the person that orphans have a direct line to God because they didn't have natural parents in that way. So that theme is I always have to connect to something deeper because I didn't have the in-between. Right? And so that's Esther. Esther's the one who's having a deeper relationship, and she's going to bring that out to the world. So maybe the big thought is, you know, as we're sitting here and we're moving towards Purim, but we're already in Adar. And I think it's way more than just about this month or this Purim. It feels like this time that we're in is Adar. Like, we're towards the end. I don't know where we are in the timeline. I don't know if it's like Mashiach's going to be here in 45 minutes before your flight. Yeah, I'm going to try to keep you guys here. And we don't know if it's in 6 years or in 60 years, but we're not in the beginning. We're not in Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. We're not there on the cosmic calendar. We're in Adar. And Adar has chaos. And Adar is hard to understand if you try to understand it with regular eyes. And Adar doesn't make sense on the surface. And sometimes, unless you're looking, you can say, I don't see it. I don't see how things make sense. But if you are looking, you realize the whole thing. the whole thing, everything, everything, always, everywhere. You can't look anywhere and not see Hashem. So on the one side, you could walk around and say, I don't see God in anything. On the other side, once you elevate enough, you can't not see God in everything. That's where we are. We're in this place where it's like, it's so big and it's cosmic and it's monumental, what we're going through right now. It's not small. And the bracha I give to all of us is that we are able to tap into that, to tune into that, to recognize that just like there's a time in the year, like the Chozer Melublin said, where I'm different in this place so I can see Hashem, and we get other, which is a different, we can feel Hashem. But we should be able to find that, to tune into that, not just now, but in our lives. This is the time. We've been here before. We've done this a bunch. We're ready. Every person in this room is ready. Every person in the world is ready. And what I've been saying now for these last few months, for those who are paying attention to the world of AI and how much faster now things are going, if you're ready for Geula, you're going to have a great time. If you're not ready for Geula, it's scary because of the acceleration. So we should have the bracha to be ready for Geula.
Amen. Amen.